And now, stay tuned for the most exciting, new, sexy radio show on the planet, The Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to The Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. I'm your host, Ronnie Deutsch. All right, I've got a feeling that today's show is going to make your heart feel something, because I'm going to expose our government. And I'm going to expose the pharmaceutical industry, because you know what? Both of them are totally and completely failing to cure pediatric cancer. I mean, how many more unbelievable young kids are going to have to die before something changes? Now, I know you probably don't know this, but the month of September is Pediatric Cancer Month, which is why we have got to talk about this subject so kids stop dying of pediatric cancer. Because no one, especially a sibling, a mom, a dad, an auntie, or anyone else, should have to suffer the loss of a child. I mean, after all, isn't it enough that we've got to lose our dogs? After 10 to 12 years, we cannot afford to lose any more children. Now think about this. Do you have kids? Do you have grandkids? Do you got nieces and nephews? Because I've got a large family and I got a bunch of little Charlies running around. So I totally get kids and kids get me. Let's face it. If kids like you or dogs like you, you're a good person. But if both kids and dogs like you, like me, you're a frickin' slash like Guns N' Roses certifiable rock star. Now, before we talk about this important topic, I want to remind you of something this morning. I want you to G-O-Y-A. I want you to get off your ass, and I want you to hug every single child who's in your life. Not only do I want you to hug them, I want you to tell them this. Ronnie Deutsch wanted me to tell you that you're going to be somebody, that you're special, and you're going to make it in this world. Because you know what? That's what my mom did for me, man. She hugged me, she kissed me, and she told me that I could do anything, and I believed her. So my first question for you is pretty deep. You ready? What happens to kids who get sick? I'm being serious. I mean, I know that kids get sick, and we could all agree that what kid doesn't get sick? I mean, kids are germ magnets, right? They get sick all the time. That's what they do. They sneeze on you. They wipe their germs on you. Then they hold their hands and they touch your face and they touch their face. So they're spreading germs everywhere. I mean, we know it's a vicious cycle and people get sick all the time. But here's my real question for you. What happens if your kid gets really, really sick? Like the kind of sick where you take your kid to the doctor, right? And you're at the hospital and your kid keeps, you know, he keeps saying, "Hey, mommy, my stomach doesn't feel good." Like, let's take my superhero friend, Sawyer. You see, here's what happened to Sawyer. He had a stomach ache. He goes to the doctor. The doctor runs some tests. And you know what the doctor said? "Hey, Sawyer, you've got cancer. And the problem is you got this really rare form of cancer. So it's possible that no one, including our government and all the private pharmaceutical companies, no one has spent enough money to develop a cure to save you." And you know why that is, Sawyer? Because pharmaceutical companies, they only care about one thing. And it's not you, and it's not saving children. Instead, pharmaceutical companies care about profits and making sure that their greedy shareholders are happy. So how can you, doctor, how can you, hospital, how can you, government, how can you, pharmaceutical company, look in the mirror after telling some kid and their family that they are going to die within a year? How is that possible? Now, here's my next question. What happens if you don't have health insurance? Can you imagine what it's like to be told, "Hi, your son has pediatric cancer and he's not going to make it." And you might be stuck with a couple hundred thousand in bills. You see, I don't know what the hell is going on. Because when I was a kid on 171 Goya Street, I don't remember, I swear to you, one kid ever dying in my entire childhood of pediatric cancer. So how is it possible that our First Lady, Melania Trump, you see, she's out there and she's talking with us about how important our children are, but we're not spending enough money. So first of all, I want to thank you, Melania Trump, for being the spokesperson for children and for actually giving a damn. Because guess what? Here are the facts. Do you realize? Of course cancer is rare in children, but you know what? Cancer is the leading cause of death by disease past infancy among children in our great country. Did you hear me? Because in 2017, 15,000 kids are going to be diagnosed with cancer from the ages of 0 to 19. And guess what? 1,790 of them are going to die. You are going to see kids die in America of cancer. And guess what? One of these kids who died, he was my hero. His name was Sawyer, and he was 9 years old. That means that my superhero friend Sawyer, who died, he was one of 1,790 kids. So I just want to know, how is it possible, Mike? I talked to my producer about this. How is it possible? In a day and an age where we can create artificial intelligent war robots and sex dolls, and we can create spaceships that can go to Mars, how come kids are dying every single day from pediatric cancer and no one is outraged? You see, I know this is a difficult subject for you to listen to. I know you're driving this morning and thinking, Ronnie, man, you usually inspire the hell out of me. I love your voice. I love your energy. But Ronnie, you're talking about pediatric cancer? Yeah, I am. And you know why I am? Because something is wrong with this picture. We cannot keep allowing children to die. Now let's talk about our government, because you know how I feel about politicians in California. I can't stand them. And the vast majority of senators in Washington can't stand them either. The problem is that our government, you taxpayers, the money you pay our government, only $200 million is going towards childhood cancer research. Did you hear what I just said? $200 million. Now listen to me. In my last segment today, I'm going to talk about Paul Manafort. You know, our president's ex-chairman of his election campaign. He's going to be arrested, guys, and they're wasting more money on him than they are doing research on childhood cancer. You see, and what makes things really upsetting is that we're spending less money. The funding for pediatric cancer has decreased. Yep. The clinical trial research, the money that we give, has gone down every year since 2003. How is that possible, Jerry Brown? You're going to get a raise in December and we're not spending enough money on pediatric cancer? Now let's talk about breast cancer, right? Do you realize that breast cancer, the National Cancer Institute, we're spending 3 to 4 times that on breast cancer. Do you know how much money we're talking? $705 million. That's in addition to the Susan Komen Foundation, who I support and I love. But we're talking about kids, people. We're not talking about adolescents. We're not talking about young adults. We're not talking about senior citizens. We're not even talking about people my age, even though I'm 53, which is the new 30. We're talking about kids. And it bothers me, and I can't justify it. You see, pharmaceutical companies, shame on you. Shame on you. How dare you not come up with a cure for cancer? Are you telling me pharmaceutical companies, you know, you remind me of? You remind me of Equifax, right? That pathetic credit company that let 143 million people get screwed. That's who you remind me of, pharmaceuticals, that you can just take in your profits and you can pillage on Wall Street and you could sit in your Wall Street offices, smoke your badass cigars. How does that feel knowing you're killing kids like Sawyer? You need to take responsibility, pharmaceuticals, because you're not spending the money, you're not putting the time in, and instead, you're just cushioning your pockets with all that dough. Now, I don't understand it. You see, what did these kids do wrong? Can you please tell me, Jerry Brown? Can you tell me, Senator Kamala Harris? You people vote on things. You people are trying to oppose our president's wall in Mexico, which I'm going to get to next week. And yet, you're willing to spend money on your campaigns. You're willing to spend money to make sure the right people, the right lobbyists are hired, but you're not willing to help kids. And I'm disgusted this morning with that. So I needed to talk about this. I needed to get it off my chest, and I feel better now. So I got great news for you. We have a show like no other because we're going to be human. We're going to be real. We're going to talk about feelings. We're going to talk about real estate. And we're going to talk about how you and your family can love each other up till the end of time. All that is coming up next on the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
And now, back to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
Hello, good morning, and welcome back to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. I'm your host, Ronnie Deutsch. Now, I got to tell you something. I've been doing this radio show now for 8 months, and right now, this minute, is my most important segment, because I'm talking about my superhero, and his name is Sawyer. Sawyer is my superhero, which is why I have his mom, Kelly, and I've got Aaron in studio today to talk about you, Sawyer. You live to be 9 years old. You died of pediatric cancer, and today is your 11th birthday. So, Kelly, you are Sawyer's mom. I want you to tell me all about your son, Sawyer.
Oh, gosh, I don't even know where to start. Sawyer was absolutely amazing. If you ever met a child where you just kind of felt like there was something special about him, that was Sawyer. And not just because obviously I'm biased, you know, but it's one of the things that kind of keeps us moving on, where we constantly hear from people telling us just how awesome he was. And he was just, you know, he had a smile that would light up a room, and to hear him giggle and scream and just not be able to control himself when he was having a good time was absolutely amazing. And he was smart. God, he was so smart, and competitive and athletic and kind.
Cocky.
Yes, very cocky. He knew how awesome he was. Kind and generous. And it's interesting because when you meet children, sometimes, you know, they have some of these traits, but Sawyer kind of encompassed all of those. So it was, you know, something that you just kind of never really thought that you would have to live without.
Aaron, can you add to that? And can you tell us what made Sawyer so badass?
He was definitely the kid that he walked with a purpose, is one of the ways that we put him. When he walked into a room, you knew that Sawyer was there. Just so incredibly positive, and everything that he had to endure while he was sick, it was really amazing to watch.
Now, for those of you just joining us, I have Kelly and Aaron in studio, and we're talking about you, Sawyer, our superhero, whose birthday it is today, and he passed away of pediatric cancer at age 9. Kelly, can you tell me a little bit about the story? What happened?
Yeah, Sawyer was one of those kids that rarely complained about anything. I remember one time he was like 3 and he fell off of a bed and his nose was bleeding, and he just kind of like wiped it, snorted up the blood, and like walked away like nothing was happening. So he was never one of those that would complain about anything. And so, you know, he started to kind of complain about some stomach issues, and we ended up taking him to the hospital for us, to the doctor. And this was February. Mm-hmm. And they thought maybe it was constipation. And so one day, and actually, I'm going to let you take this part, because I was taking our older 2 kids to an event. And so Aaron took our younger 2 kids, and then I met them there, and she had noticed Sawyer not behaving. You know, it wasn't Sawyer. He wasn't running around everywhere. He wasn't doing all these things. He was really kind of slowing down a little bit.
Yeah, he was so excited to go because all of his best friends were going to be there, and there were all kinds of games, and it was kind of a fair that was going on at their elementary school. And we got there, and I watched him trying to keep up with his friends but couldn't. He was running a few steps and then he would stop. And then finally he came over to me and said that he was bored. And I looked at him and I'm like, you're not really bored, are you? Is your stomach bothering you? And he said, yeah, it's kind of hurting. And so at that point, Kelly and I talked again and we're just like, okay, we really need to get him in again for a third time. Mm-hmm. And so,
you know, they did a CT scan, an MRI, and, you know, they had mentioned the word
mass,
which we all kind of know where your mind goes to that. And, you know, it was a Sunday. They just told us that, you know, they needed to keep him overnight. Sawyer was really bummed about that, not because of the hospital, but because up until that point in time in the third grade, he had perfect attendance. And it's April 26th. You know, we only have 1 month left of school. And he just, in his mind is, well, shit, there goes my perfect attendance award. And so he was just looking at us and we're like, it's okay, you know, and we're all trying to like keep it together until we had all the information. And by that next day, it was confirmed that he had stage 4. And so, you know, when we first saw the first scans, it was like, it's all black. Like pretty much almost everything's black except for one or two things. And so in your mind, you're thinking, oh, everything's supposed to be black. What's up with these two little things? And
now,
so
I want to stop you for a minute, Kelly. Aaron, here's what I want to know. When you saw that, when the doctor spoke with you, did you believe he was going to make it? There wasn't a doubt in your mind, right?
Right.
When did you not think that, Kelly?
It wasn't until September when we were told that there was nothing else that they thought that they could do. And it was interesting because in your mind, it's like they call in cancer, and I'm not sure if it's the same with adult cancer, but in childhood cancer, it's called a roadmap. Like your treatment is called a roadmap. And so here's your roadmap. Here's what we're going to do. Like we're going to have chemo for these amount of days. And then, you know, and then we're going to do this and then we're going to do that. Well, with Sawyer, it just never. It's just like, no, this is like we're doing this. Like even our kids were like freaking out like it's cancer because they had all these ideas. But it's like people survive of cancer all the time. Like this is, you know, like we told them we're going to be as honest with you as possible. The moment we think that or that we know that something, if it's going to go a different way, we're going to let you guys know.
So this is what I want to know. I want you to tell me you have a magic wand, okay? What is wrong with our country? Why have we not cured and saved and resolved pediatric cancer in this country? What is going on? You went through it. What is the problem and how do we cure it? Here's your magic wand. Save children. How do we do that?
I think the first thing is awareness. I think, as much to blame for Sawyer's death and any other kids with cancer because until Sawyer was diagnosed, I didn't think about it in that way. Like, of course, you know, I'd see the St. Jude's commercials and I would, you know, if somebody asked me for money, I'd give them money. And if, you know, if I would go to the Melting Pot and do their thing that they do every holiday with St. Jude's and I do that. But I never knew anybody who lost a child to cancer or who had a child with cancer. And I didn't know. And I think that's the biggest thing is that, you know, once you know, you can't look away because as much as it's more convenient for you to not think about that can't be your family. You know, nobody wants to think about their child dying. You could think about it for about 10 seconds before you're like, you know what? Nope, nope, can't do it. And you move on. But when we're not fighting for research and we're not fighting to have our government step up and give more than 4% of, you know, like that's if you've ever seen the hashtag more than four when we talk about childhood cancer, you know, the government, they only give out of all of they have up to 4% is what childhood cancer gets. And there's no way that we could cure anything or even have better treatments for our children unless that money is there. And so what ends up happening is moms like Aaron and I end up shaving our heads for, you know, St. Baldrick's. And we end up holding bake sales for Okaizu to help with support. And we end up asking our friends, you know, begging, borrowing, stealing just to try to get funding so that way somebody else's family doesn't have to go through this.
For those of you wondering why we have Aaron and Kelly, these brave mothers, in studio today, it's because September is Pediatric Cancer Month. And you heard Kelly and you heard her say that only 4% of the money is going towards pediatric cancer. And you know how disgusted I am with our government, how disgusted I am with our politicians, how disgusted I am with you pharmaceuticals, because you're helping kill people. Kelly didn't help kill Sawyer. Nobody is responsible for that. You, our government, you need to do a better job. You pharmaceuticals, you need to step up. All right, I know this is a difficult subject, but we need to talk about it. Like Kelly said, it starts with awareness. So the bottom line is, I love kids. I love you, Sawyer. I know today is your birthday, and you are my superhero. Don't you worry. We've got a lot of stuff coming up today. You know why? Because we've got a lot of good stuff coming up next on the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
Hey, surf is definitely up on the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
Hello, good morning, and welcome back to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. I'm your host, Ronnie Deutsch, and I'll tell you something. The surf is definitely up because we get to talk with Megan Reeves about you living your American dream and qualifying for a mortgage with your family. So Megan Reeves, I want to welcome you to the show, and I want to get right to the sexy news. The feds are thinking about raising rates. Do you think we've seen the lowest interest rates of the year thus far, Megan?
Well, I think we have. But the funny thing is, the Fed doesn't raise or lower mortgage rates. What the Fed does is they decide what they're going to do with the overnight Fed funds rate. What's that? That's the rate that banks pay to each other to buy and lend money overnight. And that's how our economy works. So earlier this week, the Fed Open Market Committee met. And what they decided is not to change rates, not to increase the Fed funds rate. But they made a decision that, in fact, made mortgage-backed security pricing go down. And when mortgage-backed securities pricing goes down, lenders start thinking in terms of increasing mortgage rates. So what we saw, even within an hour or so of that news, is large lenders that make a market starting to increase their rates. And again, we're not talking about shooting to 6.5% or crazy like that. But if we were looking, as we have this week, at somebody below 4, let's say we were looking at 3.875 and it was going to cost them a half a point, it may now cost them a point. So it's not like the rates are going to shoot through the roof, but there may be more of a cost associated with it.
Yeah, I think it's an important discussion, Megan. People know that California inventory is tight. You got clients out there looking for homes, but let's face it, the rate of mortgage matters. So I know you don't have a crystal ball, but what are your thoughts on where these rates are going to go, Megan, over the next quarter?
I think over the next quarter, we're going to see it continue to increase very slightly. So if people are on the fence, I'm always trying to encourage people to take advantage of it. Depending on the size of their mortgage, it can make thousands of dollars of difference, not just over the life of the loan. I'm talking about even on a monthly basis, it can make $50, $100, $150 a month, depending on the size of mortgage they have and whether they're 30 years or 15 years. So this is when you really need a friend in your corner, like Reeves Loans. They can call me at 888-862-3162 or go to ReevesLoans.com and write a comment to me. It'll come directly to my email and I'll respond. But I want to look at your situation, look at your FICO, look at your debt to income, look at your loan to value, all the things that are going to be involved in setting a price for your loan, and see where you really sit.
Now, for those of you just joining us, I want you to roll your window down and scream out loud, I love Megan Reeves. And here's why. Megan, you help your clients, man. You talk to me all the time about the clients out there, the homes they're looking for, and the types of loans they're trying to qualify for. Can you remind our listeners, what type of loans can they qualify for, Megan? Because you and I know they probably think, hey, man, I can't qualify. Give them hope this morning, Megan.
Well, they absolutely can. I've got clients just this past week. I've done a jumbo loan with 10% down and no mortgage insurance. That's crazy. But actually, they did it. A $1.1 million house, and they put 10% down, and they're not paying mortgage insurance. I've got a veteran who has fantastic benefits available, and he's so glad to be able to use them. And he's got 100% financing with his VA loan, and I just pre-qualified him for a house in Arizona. That's super exciting. Thrilled to be able to do it. We've got FHA, somebody that their foreclosure is keeping them from being able to qualify for a conventional loan, but that doesn't mean they can't buy. We just have to go to another flavor. And what's that flavor? FHA, baby. So we can do everything. We can do anything. And the point of the story is it's not a one size fits all. I want to get up close and personal with the people that are listening and be able to figure out how I can help them when they call 888-862-3162. We will talk about these very things. What are you looking to do? What are your goals? What can I help you with? And what's been keeping you from refinancing or buying so far?
I'm so glad that you brought up the refinance question because, Megan, you've been here with me all year, okay? And you have been educating people about taking money out of their home now. How do you feel today, right? Especially after the news that rates could go up. Tell me about refinance and what you're seeing your clients use that money for.
Well, now more than ever, and we've been saying this all year, but I really believe it, and I'm doing it myself. I'm putting new hardwood floors down. I'm not moving. Love my house. Been there 4 years. I'm staying. And I want to improve the quality because I bought a house that had been flipped. So the carpet was ugly. And I want pretty hardwood floors in there. I'm not different than the clients I work with. They want to go ahead and get the roof fixed. And it may not be hurricane damage. I'm just talking about a roof that's 20 years old that needs to be redone. Maybe new siding. I've got people getting their home painted. And one of the refinances I did this week that I'm really excited about is an area in California where the price per square foot is really high. So they're taking what was just an old studio or a back garage off the house, and they're converting it into a one-bedroom guest house or teenager's room. So they're now creating 400 square feet at almost $400 a square foot. And they're doing that by borrowing $60,000 against their home.
Yeah, we come back, Megan, to the refinance dream. And like you're saying, everybody is different. I want to focus on millennials. I want to focus on children. Megan, you have a badass daughter, and I've got 45 nieces, nephews, great nieces and nephews. How do kids buy homes, Megan? How do young adults, millennials, what type of first-time home buyer programs are out there? And how do we get more kids who you and I love to buy homes?
Well, millennials buy very, very slowly. So I think my kids would laugh hearing me say that, but it's the truth. And I have three of them, so I can speak to millennials. They're afraid. They watched their parents walk away from their house in 2008. They watched their parents have to sell their house for less than what was owed. They've gone through this economy with us, and quite frankly, they don't understand it. They don't know why it's better for them. And why not just rent? But when they see the math behind it, because we're all smart people, and once they understand the math of what's possible, when they can write off their mortgage and the effect of that on their taxes, all of a sudden it's like, why am I throwing this money away every month and making someone else's investment? If I can get a house for as little as 3% down, or you can help me with down payment assistance, why wouldn't I want to do that? I find that once they see the math behind it, it makes perfect sense. But they need to call me at 888-862-3162 and let's talk about it. So if you have a kid that's living with you and you want him out, then I want you to call me this morning and say, Megan, I want my son out and I will make it happen. You and I will partner together and get that kid to move.
Yeah, you know, Megan, that was one of my favorite discussions when we talked about the millennials. And let me tell you about my next discussion. It's on Paul Manafort. Have you seen what the FBI is doing to that dude? Well, I've got quite a sexy discussion, and that is coming up next on the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
And now back to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. Here's Ronnie.
Hello, and welcome back to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. I'm your excited host, Ronnie Deutsch. Now, I know you've seen the news this past week, so you're aware that the former Trump campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, is totally and completely screwed. Yeah, there's really no other way to say it. After all, you know that him and his wife, they're sound asleep in their home in Virginia, right? And then on July 26th, a team of armed FBI agents, they burst through the front door with a search warrant, right? And they're looking for the crimes that this guy may have committed as far back as 2006. Are you kidding me? 2006. Our government is going to actually go after this dude for crimes that are over 10 years old. Now, I know that most of you don't know this, but the government generally has a 10-year statute of limitations to come after you and your family for serious crimes that involved the IRS. Yep, we got to talk about the ugly elephant in the room, and that is the IRS. So Paul Manafort, man, I cannot imagine what it must be like for you. Now, think about it for a minute. First of all, can you even remember what you did 10 years ago? I mean, the government wants to charge this guy for crimes in 2006? Because listen to me, I can barely remember what I ate for dinner last night, okay? Now, don't get me wrong. I can remember the name of the yummy I spoke with last night. And I can remember that we spoke about peacocks and beavers, but I can't remember anything other than that. So how in the world is Paul Manafort going to be able to defend himself when evidence is outdated? Witnesses won't remember. This is another sexy ass witch hunt. And the thing that concerns me about massive and expensive witch hunts is that you pay for them. So the FBI, who's been investigating this guy and other Trump associates, it seems like now for what, a year? I'm telling you right now, here's my prediction. Within the next couple of months, you mark my word, 2 to 5 people are going to be arrested. And you're going to see them on Fox and CNN, and you're going to see the Democrats cheering loudly. But here's the thing. Why would the Democrats cheer loudly when the FBI just wasted $200 million investigating people who are going to be pardoned in the end? Really? That's what President Trump is going to do, because if these associates are charged with serious crimes like tax crimes and financial crimes, I mean, our government can't justify wasting your money. Right? They can't justify, hey, we've just wasted $100 million and we have no one to arrest. That's how the game works. Do you understand? I know this game, because remember who I am. I'm Ronnie Deutsch, and I own the largest business of its kind in the country. You used to see me on TV every day for Fox, for CNN, for the Today Show. And then I was charged with the most crimes in the history of our great state. And I fought back, and you taxpayers, you paid. But that money could have went towards pediatric cancer, because all the charges filed against me were dropped. So can you imagine, Mike, my producer, how many more kids we could save, government, if you stopped the political investigations and the political witch hunts? Because the Democrats, you know who's going to get the last laugh here, Democrats? We are. Because Paul Manafort and all of the other Trump associates that are going to get arrested, what do you really think is going to happen in the end? You ever heard that song by the Pretenders? You know, that Back in the Chain gang? Do you really think that any of these people are going to go to jail? Of course not. So let me tell you what Paul Manafort is going through right now. Paul Manafort and his very, very expensive lawyers, you know what they're doing? They are negotiating deals with the FBI. Because you know what the FBI wants to do, right? You know that they want Paul Manafort to cop up a deal so he can become a rat. You see, Paul Manafort, he's too smart to become a rat. What do you think this guy's going to do? He's going to cough up some sexy information on our president or someone close to the president? Get real here. That's why this is a waste of money. And that is why I hate bullies and I hate rats. Yeah, listen to me. I am 100% certain that right now, Mueller is trying to pressure Manafort into coughing up any dirt he has. Because listen to me, Manafort doesn't want to go to jail. Manafort doesn't want to go through criminal charges. Manafort doesn't want to go through that. But guess what? Manafort, you need to be strong. You need to be the man that our president believes you are, because you're not a rat. In fact, not only, Manafort, are you not a rat, but you have denied any and all wrongdoing, even though you are under so much pressure and so much scrutiny. Why? Because you got a web of shell companies, right? You got these shell companies and you're using them to purchase real estate, right? And you even had some offshore bank accounts for the millions of dollars that you received, right, from that pro-Russian political party. Now, I have to tell you something about offshore bank accounts. When I was that badass tax attorney, I was aware of what the IRS was doing. In fact, the IRS, as you remember, pressured Switzerland and the vast majority of their banks to cough up your names, right? If you had an offshore account, Switzerland caved, they became a rat, and they gave your name away. Side note about Switzerland, I love it, man. I even jumped off a mountain in Switzerland and went hang gliding. Now, don't get me wrong, I was a screw away from dying, but it was amazing. Now, what makes this story so shocking to me, you ready, is that the government actually wiretapped Manafort. They wiretapped this dude. So you know they heard plenty of conversations that were sensational, maybe even scandalous, maybe even disgusting. And we know what they involved. They involved our president. And I guarantee you some of these discussions involved our president's closest allies. Because if the FBI has been wiretapping Manafort for some time, come on, guys. You think I was born yesterday? The chances are there is some serious dirt, man, that's been discussed about Russia, China, terrorists, and God knows what else. But here's what you need to know. Are you ready? Because the devil are in the details. How is it possible for the FBI to all of a sudden charge this guy with crimes when just last year, you know what the Department of Justice did? The prosecutors there concluded, and I quote, there wasn't enough evidence to bring charges against Manafort or any other people that were subject to the Ukraine probe. Don't you remember that? Don't you remember how they cleared this dude? You see, that's why this story makes no sense. We got the statute of limitations, that's 10 years, and they're looking at 2006. Guys, 2006 was 11 years ago. Okay, I don't want to give you a sermon on the statute of limitations, but you need to understand something. Unless it's murder, right? Unless it's abuse of a child, the statute of limitations generally is 5 years, not 10 years. So I just don't understand. And what makes the story even more crazy to me is why 2006? Here's what the government can look at. You ready for the years, Paul Manafort, that you got to be afraid of? It's called 2011. They're going to have to file criminal charges against you, Paul, by October 15th. And I know the people in Washington listen to our show. And that's what makes my producer, Mike, and I want to pop champagne. President Trump loves our show, as do many politicians out in that area. But I want you to know something, Mr. Manafort. You're not going to jail. The bottom line here is pretty simple. You ready? We have a great president, and our president is loyal, and he is loyal to the people who are loyal to him, and he's not afraid to pardon controversial figures, right? He pardoned that sheriff out in Arizona, and half the country freaked out. So Paul Manafort, here's what you need to know. Don't be a rat. Rats are the worst. Bullies are just like rats. Don't be a bully either. And instead, Mr. Manafort, here's what you need to know. Our great president is going to take care of you. If the witch hunt happens to come hard against you and you're arrested and you have a trial, which you'll have a corrupt judge, so you can't get a fair trial. That's what you need to know. If you're arrested, Paul Manafort, you man up. Our president is going to pardon you, and he's going to pardon anyone else who is subject to these awful witch hunts, because the message has got to be clear. Our president is loyal, and he's got your back, America, as do I. Now, I know we've covered a lot of stuff today, but I need to tell you the most important part of it all. I am begging you to G-O-Y-A, get off your ass and tell your kids how much you love them. All right, I want to make sure you know that I love you too. I love your messages, and I love the fact that you go to RonnieDeutschRadio.com to listen to our radio shows. You guys have a great week. See you next weekend on the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.